I think there are many moments. But when I was talking to Lior, I think the light bulb kind of went off when I started realizing that the value that I can bring to the table, I can help multiple people.
Welcome to Inside CTOX Podcast. I'm Donna, Head of Membership and Partnership, and today we're stepping inside the minds of some of the most innovative tech leaders out there. This isn't just a podcast. It's a place where CTO journeys come alive, where stories of struggles, breakthroughs, and growths unfold. We're here to unpack the experiences of real CTOs navigating through our CTOX Accelerator and membership program. So sit back, tune in, let's get into the story. Welcome back to the CTOX podcast, Inside CTOX. Today, I'd like to introduce a absolutely fantastic, one of our favorite CTOX members, Asim Mohammed, a fractional CTO, data strategist, and the tech whisperer behind next-gen platforms like Lassie. With a background in AI, analytics, and high-growth leadership, Asim helps companies reimagine products, scale fast, and turn data into decisions that move the needle. From fintech to healthcare, he's built, advised, and invested in ventures that bridge innovation with operational excellence. A true technologist with the heart of a mentor. But his impact doesn't stop at the edge of a dashboard. No, no. Asim is a community builder, an interfaith leader, creating spaces where technology meets ethics and where the next generation finds its voice. Purpose-driven, strategy-minded, and never afraid to ask the big questions. Asim brings soul to the C-suite. Welcome.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
That's quite an intro. Wow. You've from fintech to healthcare. So fintech to healthcare, tell me about that. Like, that's quite a wide range.
Yeah. You know, I've been privileged to have a pretty amazing, career history. I've started in fintech at Bank of America, where I kind of worked in the consumer bank and worked and at the enterprise level, worked in various functions, mostly around data management, building data governance, working on data architecture, and then worked on the back end, meaning the back office as well as the front office, helping tellers and banking centers address their data needs so they can have better analytics for their customers that were seeing them. I went off to Silicon Valley and worked at a few startups out there, in the data space, and mm-hmm. really enjoyed that work, really hard work with respect to the complications and the problems. And I was kind of looking for a sort of gnarly, hairy problem to go after. So I was happy to find a lot of that. And we didn't,
we wrestled
a lot of real issues there. And that sort of took me around. And recently I joined a loyalty company, a B2B company that was focused on, increasing employee engagement by providing cashback benefits or employee benefits that provided cash back to their employees, and that included healthcare component, which I'm part of as well. Yeah. Mm.
So you were fully in the corporate world. So what was it? Was there a moment, or what was it that made you think, I need to come and join this CTOX program? Like, I need a shift. I need a change. Like, what was that? What was that moment?
I think there are many moments. When I was talking to Lior, I think the light bulb kind of went off when I started realizing that the value that I can bring to the table, I can help multiple people, multiple organizations. Now, prior to this, I was investing, I was helping, advising organizations, and just helping them grow and giving their founders, the right level of direction, but not necessarily taking money in all cases, or taking an equity position or whatever, and just helping me structure, having Lior there to help me structure the ideas a little bit better and frame it up in a way that enables us, the value offering, that is really what I would consider an equitable value offering. What I mean by that is, you know, we're not necessarily fleecing people by just, you know, coming in, not doing anything and just, you know, giving them a large bill, right? You know, mm-hmm. we're tying the value that we bring to the table to the dollars that we're asking for, right?
Was there anything coming into the program that you were particularly worried about or felt challenged before joining the program?
You know, I've worked on the sales side of the business before, but I've never branded myself personally, right?
Yeah.
And so branding myself, taking a good look in the mirror and building a brand, building a marketing strategy for yourself, going out there, selling your value offering, that was tough. You know, it takes a lot of honesty. It takes a lot of looking yourself in the mirror, what you do well, a lot of maturity to just step in and say, what do you not do well? And what do you want to necessarily stay away from? And then kind of building that story a little more clearly, right?
We hear that a lot from the members, like they've never been asked to brand. So tell me, what do you feel about the branding exercise versus a standard corporate interview for a CTO, like a regular CTO job?
You know, in a regular CTO job, I think they're kind of mutually exclusive, very different mm-hmm. things, right? So, going into a CTO position, you're really talking through your experience and you're sort of refactoring your experience to a particular role and a function. In the CTOX role, as when you're kind of coming in as a fractional, it's a bit different. It's a bit more like you're building a brand and you're saying, look, this is who I am. I'm not trying to cater to people. I'm not trying to cater to the roles. This is who I am. This is the value that I bring. And you allow people to come to you instead of you coming to them. And I think that inflection point in my mind, that was a switch that flipped in my mind, that I was like, oh, I want to do this. I want to this is who I am. And I want to define that for myself instead of it allowing others to define that for me. Mm. I want, as a value offering, to say, this is what I do well. Mm. I can help you in other areas too, but this is what I do well. And then allowing for people to come to me and ask for business. Does that make sense?
That absolutely does. And really that mind shift, that mindset shift is huge. Was there any other like mindset shifts that you felt like through the program?
I think there's a certain amount of confidence that comes with that mindset shift, or I would say courage first. So it starts with the courage to be able to kind of go out there and move away from a paradigm of, you know, just kind of going and interviewing and for a corporate company into a role. So moving from a paradigm of being a CTOX or going out there and rebranding yourself, saying this is who I am, and confidently entering into the public sphere and saying, you know, this is who I am. Please, you know, I'm open for business, right? Mm. Shift is a journey that isn't an easy journey. It requires courage. It requires honesty. It requires hard work and dedication to rebrand yourself, refactor, go back in, get feedback, refactor again, build a value proposition, build a marketing strategy, which things I didn't know. And along the way, I just really learned a lot along the process. It was amazing. And what I learned about myself is the depth of my network, depth of the capabilities that I have. Sometimes you don't really realize what you bring to the table. And sometimes you, in going through this exercise, you realize, wow, it's actually, you're actually bringing a lot to the table. You actually deserve, you know, to command a certain number, right? And it's valuable, right? And the discipline that comes along with that, with respect to the professionalism and the excellence that, at least for me, I kind of aspire to.
Yeah, and like network is so important. I love that you brought that up. So tell me, how did it feel going out to your network for the first time and being like, hey, I'm now a fractional CTO? Tell us about that.
I'll tell you how I did it. I looked at my network and I was like, this is a huge number of thousands of people, right? And I'm like, this is going to take some time. So one of the first things I did was with some help, I built persona, like certain network personas. So this is, I graduated from Duke. I'm like, this is my Duke Alumni Association. I'm going to go, this is that network. I'm going to go after those guys differently than other groups, right? This mm-hmm. is a group of CEOs that I know. And I started building these small databases of people that are within my network that I knew, mm-hmm. or I could to first degree of separation, 2 degree of separation, yeah. And reasonably send emails to and have that respond back, right? Not everybody responded back, but it gave me a strategy. It gave me a framework. Mm-hmm. So, okay, you know, so now building those personas out were super critical for me, mm-hmm. And then going out and then, you know, individually reaching out to those groups of people and then, you know, talking to them at their level, you know, as a Duke alumni, as mm-hmm. A representative of, you know, like, you know, people, my community, or through, you know, people that I've worked with in the past, you know, in the data space, outside the data space, that helped cater the conversation, helped cater the messaging and mm-hmm. how I would get introduced in there. And that helped a lot.
Yeah. Yeah, that's great. I like the ideas of like having that persona, having that really clear goal in mind, because I feel like sometimes we just sort of go out and just, you know, blurb of, hey, I'm a fractional CTO, I'm blah, 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 and it's not a conversation. It just feels like a sales pitch to people that you've known for like 20 years. Was there anybody that gave you any negative feedback or said, oh my God, you're crazy, you should go and get a proper job?
You know, in all honesty, probably my wife, you know, probably said, you know, initially she was like, I think you should go and get a proper job. You know, almost everybody else, looked at it and said, that is interesting. Without question, almost everybody was like, that is super exciting. And interestingly enough, like, people who are unfortunately let go from their corporate roles or whatever, you come across them, they're in our communities and their friends and family. You know, I almost always sit down with them and talk to them about, like, maybe you should consider reinventing yourself because the world is shifting. The world is shifting away from kind of, you know, going after roles and applying for the days when I used to be young and going after, like, you know, job boards and things like that and trying to apply. I mean, those days are over, right? And even LinkedIn, LinkedIn jobs a bit dated and it's not easy. It's, you know, so like the approach I think is sort of really, you know, my recommendation to the next generation in particular is build a network, build a data, go out there and actively network, understand first, second, third degrees of separation, go after, you know, be very focused, and then go understand your brand, right? And then, and, you know, start thinking about, you know, this idea of fractionalization, because I think it's really healthy for you to do that, right? And then join CTOX. You know,
Oh, thanks. I mean, networking, like, it should be a skill. It should be a skill that we're taught much, much earlier. And like, you should be taught it before you need it. And I feel sometimes it's taught at the point where you desperately need it. And that just kind of adds additional stress that you really don't need. Yeah. So networking for sure is a skill, both online and offline. I think there's two different ways to network, and both nowadays, you can have a global network, which is just incredible from where we are now.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I actually have a global network, right? And it is absolutely interesting. I tell my daughter, who's a freshman in high school, like, you know, sometimes in addition to your academics, you kind of need to kind of learn the soft skills as well. And the soft skills, how to attentively listen, how to network, how to, you know, effectively, you know, deal with people and kind of interact with different types of people, understand different personalities and how to engage with that. It's really healthy.
It's so important. And it's going to be more and more as AI gets more and more involved in our world. Having those personal relationships is going to be everything of those who are successful and those aren't. Thinking about relationships, was there a particular relationship within CTOX that kind of resonated with you?
There's one particular, like somebody reached out to me and said, hey, you should talk to this person. And it might have been you, Donna, who said, go talk to this person who actually has a virtual an offsite executive assistant framework, right? That was built. And that is interesting. Because I was juggling 100 things at a time. And I'm like, I need an executive assistant. And, you know, I wasn't really ready to kind of turn my life over to an AI. Like you said that, and I've been kind of going down that road a little bit, right? Just finding an offshore executive assistant. So some of the network is helpful. Some of the connections, I've gotten connections, you know, that's turned into very, very deep friendships, you know, through the CTOX community. And has led to additional opportunities and, you know, leads that, you know, that we continue to follow and kind of develop.
Yeah, we really encourage that. You know, just again, part of like building that network, but also like building those relationships within the program so that, you know, you can work together on projects or refer leads or people refer leads to you. Or we have a couple of joint proposals going out at the moment. So like super exciting to see that. It's all people. It's considering we're technologists here, but you know, the people side of it is so important. So also I wanted to ask, everything that you've learned through the CTOX program, you've been with us for a while now, one of the originals, one of the OGs. What is one, like, let's say, insight or principle that you learned through CTOX that you didn't have before, but now is like non-negotiable? Die on this hill.
I mean, there are so many. So I think a non-negotiable that we need to get over as individuals who tend to be utilitarian is there's a pay-to-play kind of model here and people need to understand that, right? You got to overcome sometimes the cost of it and you know, to enter into these spaces and to get the kind of real, true guidance and advice and support structure that you need to kind of, engage at that level, right? And there's investment that needs to be done. So that was actually a big thing for me, right? And that'll grow over time, right? Like, you know, to continue to excel and grow and get to the next level in your career, those investments have to continue. And whereas maybe 30 years ago, no one actually thought about that, right? Those types of investments. I would say, you know, understanding the whole, you know, stepping out of technology for a minute and understanding how to do sales, marketing, being able to understand what a pipeline looks like, you know, and building, you know, and managing your own CRM, very big deal. I mean, that's not trivial work. And, you know, the CTOX community makes it easy to do that work, but it's not trivial by any nature. And it requires a lot of, you know, feeding and nurturing and management. It requires investment of time and energy to go out and meet people and talk to people and you know, build relationships. And that takes, you know, that's an investment too, right? Take the time and
energy. Investment in time.
You got to put in the time. You got to put in the time, go out and meet people, go out and drive those conversations and see what, you know, and be, you know, as you do more and more of it, you get more and more focused, you get a better feel of where the opportunities are and whether there's an opportunity, there's a deal around the corner or not. But just got to stick with it and stay with the program in a sense.
Yeah, that investment, you know, it's an interesting thing that for all the money that we spend on iPhones and Macs and technology and trips and the investment in yourself in learning, particularly at this stage, you know, you guys have all had incredible careers, you know, really climbed that corporate ladder. But to take this moment to fully invest in yourself to get to that next level, and not just in money, not just in money, in time, equally yeah. so in time and money. It's so important. It's so important to yeah. get there. Nobody yeah, can do that. It for you. Like, nobody can I do agree. It for you.
I agree. No one can do it. I think the other thing, you know, to my point earlier about confidence, sometimes you are, at least for me, I was my worst critic, right? Mm-hmm. And it's really important to mentally turn that around and say, look, mm-hmm. you know, don't be too hard on yourself. In fact, the world doesn't see you that way, right? I know you know, and you have to have a lot more empathy for your own self to be able to take yourself out there and put yourself out there and really with confidence really drive business, you know?
Yeah. And I see a lot of change, you know, I'm hearing all this, you know, a lot of change. So thinking about leadership, like, how has your leadership style changed?
My leadership style, I fine tuned it over time. So I'm really much more, you know, very focused. I tend to know what needs to get done. My leadership is a little bit more macro. I've kind of elevated myself up a little bit in my leadership, which is really important. As technologists, we tend to stay close to the tech. A little bit of, you know, like, we need to stay close to the tech, a little bit of that culture that's within us, but at some level, you know, we have to sort of elevate up out of that conversation and build that second tier. So my focus has always been on kind of building teams and growing teams and nurturing teams.
Yeah.
I've learned, really, one of my biggest lessons in life was learning to protect your team, right? Because if you don't protect your team, then your team feels that they are unprotected, and they tend to leave. And when you leave, it hurts the business overall, and then you end up having to build your team from scratch, and it creates a lot more difficulty. And when you learn to protect your team at the risk of all different areas of the business, and then you can, people trust you as a leader. And when they trust you as a leader, they can rely on you to do the right thing to support them. And that is so critical. It's an important lesson to learn. Because then you can grow the organization. You can empower people to make decisions for themselves and trust them. Even if they make mistakes here and there, that's okay. But
it's okay.
You know, it's okay. It's just yeah. part of the games. That's what leadership's about, right? To I always kind of look at myself as, how do I put myself out of business, right? By building the next level to take over the roles that I'm doing today, right? I don't mean that in terms of, you know, like, you know, not having an income, right? But it's like, I feel confident to be able to say, I'm happy to put myself out of business because I know that I would have done something successful for the company. And, you know, I can go get income in other places.
Right? Yeah. I love that. I love what you're saying about the trust. And I feel like the trust that you build as the leader then follows through to the clients, because at the end of the day, if the clients don't trust you, if you haven't built that trust and confidence with the clients, then they're not going to take your advice. Yeah. They're not going to follow your instructions if they don't really trust that either you have their best interest in heart or that you really know what you're doing. So the trust works both ways.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Totally.
Excellent. So what can we expect in the next 12 months? What does that look like? What's in the journey for you for the next 12 months?
You know, the next 12 months is a fantastic journey. I think, you know, I'm looking forward to it. There's an opportunity for a large exit for companies I've been working closely with and growing.
Exciting.
So we look forward to that. And then there's also a few companies I've been advising and helping on the periphery that are at the 0-1 stage. So I'm looking forward to kind of getting them launched and that tech team sort of rolling on their own. That would be fantastic. And you know, my hope is that, you know, we kind of you know, land the product market fit on that. We land a revenue play on that. And these guys can go off to the races and kind of build that business out, which is super fascinating. That's in the healthcare space as well. And if it does well, knock on wood, you're talking about a $1 billion company, you know.
Wow.
I'm looking forward to kind of growing that out. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you have to keep us informed about that. That's very exciting. Very exciting. Yeah. Okay, on to our final segment. And for anybody that's listened to the podcast before, you'll know this more than So our final segment is I'm going to ask ChatGPT live right now a thought-provoking, timely question, and you have to answer it on the spot. Are you game?
Let's do it.
Okay. So I'm going to bring up my ChatGPT. All right. Hello, ChatGPT. We love a bit of spontaneity, so we thought who better to challenge us than AI. What question would you like to ask a fractional CTO at this exact moment in time? Okay. Now, you don't know what this question is.
Nope.
All right, hold on. It's thinking. Okay. Ooh, this is a good one.
Okay.
This is something I've heard other people ask this question. So I'm interested to know what you think. ChatGPT would like to know, is it unethical for a fractional CTO to work with multiple startups solving overlapping problems, or is that just the new edge of leverage in a post-scarcity economy of ideas?
Oh, that's an interesting question.
That's a good one.
Yeah. I would say number one, you know, it is unethical to do it if you're a W-2 and if you're an employee of a company, right? The likelihood that there's, especially if there's overlapping components, I would say completely unethical. If you're a consultant, it might be slightly nuanced there, maybe less unethical. But if there's overlapping components, I would do it with a degree of transparency. And generally speaking, you know, going at this eyes wide open and letting people know that's transparent is probably the best approach, just to prevent any potential litigation down the road. I always try to err on the right of being a little bit more conservative when it comes to these types of matters, because we're living more in a world of litigation. And if this kind of overlapping stuff kind of comes across as being, something that is, people feel like there's actually wrong that's being done, even there's an allegation of that, that can turn into a very expensive mess with lawyers and court systems and things like that, that I would try to avoid it at all means.
Yeah. And I think it goes back to what you were talking about just before, about trust. Clients have to be able to trust you.
100%. Like, it's super important. And your integrity, thank you for bringing that up. It's super important to say, look, your integrity is what matters here, right? And it's probably better to maintain and protect your integrity, because the moment your integrity is lost with one potential employer or an employer, then the word gets out, right?
It's a small world all of a sudden.
A very, very small world, right? And I've seen that happen with other people. The word gets around and people sense it. They may not know specifics, but they sense something's there. Mm-hmm. And it's better just to be on the up and up on everything. Yeah. Good question.
Thank you. That was a good question. Good work, ChatGPT. Well, thank you so much, Asim. I really appreciate that. Thank you for sharing all your stories and your insight with us today. And to our listeners, join us next time. We'll be sharing another CTOX journey. Stories, experiences, and advice you hear today are incredibly valuable, not just for CTOs, but for the broader tech community and leaders. To our listeners, thanks for tuning in to Inside CTOX. Don't forget to follow us on social media, tag us, and share your favorite insights from the episode. We love hearing your feedback. Make sure to subscribe and check in again for our next episode, where we'll continue to explore the stories behind the tech leaders shaping the future. Until next time.